Remember, Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless, our mothers are as widows. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever, and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. We have drunken our water for money, our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution, we labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Thou, Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us, there is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We got our bread with the peril of our lives, because of the sword of the wilderness. Thou, Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Like an oven, because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand, the faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gates, the young men from their music. Thou, Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. The joy of our heart is ceased, our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned, for this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim, because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our
Roger Sherman, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "Sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and their history, and no longer remember that the country that they love, the institutions they say that they cherish, and the freedom they hope to preserve were born from the throes of armed resistance to tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men. America would be spared a thousand evils if its people would lay the axe to the root of the tree. When we fail to do this, we give permission to the branches, the errors, which only begin to thrust out the truth which it works against. This is the responsibility of the Protestants, and it is the modern-day Protestant that believes what is not taught in the Bible. They practice ordinances that are not based off of scriptural authority. Away with the commandments of men, and down with the traditions that make void the laws of God. Charles Spurgeon.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQ, RSTV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live in the U.S.-occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warns about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this afternoon. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com, also sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio, you'd like to watch the video portion of the radio show, we'd love to have you. Head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There's two videos at the top of the page. One on the right side is this morning's show. So if you'd like to catch that, you can do so up until 6 o'clock in the morning, which time we'll be live in that area, Lord willing. On the left side is where we're at right now. Excuse me. Click on the play button, blow it up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon. It'll be in the bottom right-hand corner of that video. Click on that. That'll take you over to Rumble, to our Rumble channel. We got some friends over there in the chat this morning. Make some new friends over there if you'd like to join us. We'd love to have you. Good afternoon, guys. Good to see you. And while you're there, please subscribe to the channel. It's Sons of Liberty Radio Live. Sons of Liberty Radio Live. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page over there. DLive.tv at The Sons of Liberty. Want to wish you guys a good afternoon as well. Just getting something because I don't know what it is. I'm fine right up until we start, and then I get this stuff in my throat. It's really strange. I apologize for that. In any case, if you've tuned in listening for Bradley Dean, he is still out in California with his family. They will be there one more day, and then, Lord willing, he's going to be back with you on Wednesday afternoon. So I know a lot of you guys are anticipating him coming back in, and rightfully so. Okay, so I just want to kind of get into some of this today. This morning, we kind of carried over for the morning show, because our morning show radio audience is different than our afternoon. And so you guys know that last week and the week before, I took on this issue about the emoluments clause, and the plane and the bribe and all this other stuff. Well, I kind of did a little bit of that this morning as well, and went and added, since they have now said they are taking that plane on. And so we went through that, and we were showing some stuff that was going on, and I got this person, that comes in, and look, you can disagree with me, that's fine. Don't have a problem with the disagreements. But I had a guy, he was commenting, or a gal, I don't know, commenting on what was presented, except it was almost like the person didn't even watch what was going on. They saw a title, which actually had Pete Hedges' name in it, not Donald Trump, but I used the same image as before, which had Donald Trump, the plane, and Article 2. And so this person said, oh, you cited a liberal outlet. Yeah, I cited it for the title. I didn't even read the article. I said, this is all across not only the Mockingbird media, it's across all the media, because it actually has happened now. It's not theoretical, we're thinking about it, it's actually happened. That was my point. That was the only thing I stood on as far as any kind of other article. Didn't even read it. And yet the guy wants to push back on it, fight it. I don't know how many comments the person left. And all I was doing was warning the people that of the lawless behavior. And he says, well, these people aren't going to take it personally when they leave office. That's not what the Constitution says. It doesn't say anything. It says they can't accept presents, gifts, any of that without the express permission of Congress. Now, why is that? Because even if they're not going to get their hands on it, and the guy wanted to charge me, he says, well, Obama took all this jewelry, this, that, and the other, millions of dollars. And sure, the same thing applies to him. Guess where that stuff ends up? Guess where it ends up? The National Archives. What good is it doing there? Who does that actually enrich? And for what purpose? They said you can't do it. Any officer cannot receive those kinds of things, gifts from foreign powers. They can't do it unless they get permission from Congress. Has that happened? Nope. Nope. And you know what? We continue to warn about these things. I was looking up some things about the Trojan horse. You know, that was considered to be a gift to the Trojans. The Greeks were coming in. They were going to give them the Trojan horse as a gift from the goddess Athena. It was a gift. And they just heartily welcomed it in. And I thought to myself of all of the things that the American people that we're letting in. All of the things that we're letting in, despite the warnings that have been given over and over and over and over again, at least from the Sons of Liberty. And I know there are other people in America who are warning as well. And they'll point back to how God dealt with Old Testament Israel. Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. Go into, read Jeremiah, read Lamentations, read Isaiah, read Ezekiel. We're going to touch on Ezekiel here in a little bit. Read the warnings that came and the failure of the people to heed the warnings. Now we're getting something, hopefully I'm going to be able to, I may take this on tomorrow afternoon. You know, I talked about the big, beautiful bill. Well, that's now in the Senate now. And boy, there's something in there the states really need to see and pay attention that's not getting much traction out there, that's warning them this whole AI enterprise that Donald Trump and all of his corporate fascist buddies out there that are contributing that $500 million in, that they're wanting to build all these power plants and do all this stuff with AI. And by the way, is $500 million enough to create power plants that they need to run all this stuff? Kind of thinking maybe not. They're probably got their hand in the public treasury over that. And I think this is probably what this bill is going to be tied to, too. And the issue is that in there, they're going to seek to try to override the states for 10 years. The states can't have any pushback on AI once that bill is approved. They cannot regulate it. They can't do anything about it because they're just going to give it up to the federal government. And we're going to touch on that probably tomorrow, Lord willing. But I want to stay on the watchman. When the people are warned, what's the result? SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hang on, we'll be right back.
We Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Hello, friends. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Did you know that George Barna's research group recently found that after surveying pastors from across the country, that less than 10% of them preach out against the issues that they know that they should address? And when we look at the said representatives in the halls of government, well, need I say any more? Are we as a nation ready to take responsibility for righting the wrongs? Join us Friday, March 21st at 6 p.m. at Jack's House Bowl. Hope to see you there.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble. Our churches, our families, we need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Peter Marshall, chaplain of the United States Senate from 1902 to 1949, he said, "The choice before us is plain, Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I am rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time has come, it now is, when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government." Abraham Lincoln was right when he said, "In regards to this great book, the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are found portrayed in it."
Hey! Sorry about that. Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. All right, let's just get into this. Ezekiel's where we're going. Ezekiel chapter 3. And we see that God has set Ezekiel to be a watchman, a person who will warn the people about the impending danger because of their disobedience to the Lord. Now, Ezekiel's not the only guy to do this. You'll see this in Jeremiah. You'll see this in Isaiah. You'll see the warnings going out to the people, these major prophets. You'll also see warnings that come from the minor prophets as well. But you will see it in Ezekiel here. And one of the things I want you to take heed to is what it says, how he's to warn or what he's to warn from. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll or this scroll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll or eat that scroll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this scroll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, those words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. So we see here that God is going to send Ezekiel there to the covenant people of God. Again, it's when you read the Old Testament, God just doesn't send his prophets out. The only time that I can recall was Jonah going to Nineveh. But otherwise, the prophets are always sent to his covenant people. It's to call them away from their sin, to call them back to the law, to call them back to blessings, to call them back to life. That's his desire for them. It is not, this is why, you know, later on he'll utter that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's not who God is. Is he glorified in the death of the wicked? Yep. Is he glorified in judgment? Yes. But it's not this thing that he takes delight in. In fact, we're told over and over there's delight in sinners that repent, right? There's delight in doing good. But God also warns that he'll delight in doing evil if they want to be disobedient. That's what's going on. So, with that said, he calls Ezekiel to be one who is a watchman on the wall. He's warning of impending danger. And that danger is not in the off-too-distant future for Israel at this time. Remember, these guys are warning about what was coming from the hand of God through the armies of Babylon, God's armies. And so God does this in different ways. He uses watchmen. He uses prophets. They warn against what the people are doing. Usually it's sin. It's violation of God's law. It reminds them of their responsibility to others. It reminds them of their spiritual duties that they have before God. And sometimes it's God himself who warns. But I want you to notice this. It says here that there is a scroll. All right? There's a scroll that is to be eaten. And this scroll can be found. I mean, it's the term scroll here is used all through the Old Testament. Mainly, what I was able to find was in two of the major prophets, Ezekiel and Jeremiah, this word that's used here, Megillah, which just simply means a scroll. It's mentioned all through Jeremiah. It's mentioned several times in Ezekiel. It's mentioned a couple of times in Zechariah. And it's mentioned once in the Psalms, Psalm 40, verse 7. And the thing that we notice is that Ezekiel is told to eat this scroll. And when he's not just to eat it, it is to fill him, right? The words are to fill him. And, excuse me, he says, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this scroll that I give thee. So it's to be a filling scroll. He's to eat the whole thing, right? He's to feast on this scroll and what's in it. And what's in it? Well, we do see it, down in verse 6. Excuse me, I don't know what's going on in my throat here. But he tells them, he said, surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. He's talking about this scroll bears his words. They are the words of God. In fact, in verse 4, he says, the son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. How's he going to speak his words if he doesn't consume them? Now, if you guys remember when we were going over with Jesus in John chapter 6, what did he say? He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me, right? He wasn't talking about cannibalism. He was talking about his words. He was talking about consuming them. It's the same picture we see here. We're just seeing that there's a scroll there instead of the word himself in the flesh saying, you need to consume me. Right? So, and it's not like Ezekiel's actually eating an actual scroll. He's consuming the Word of God. And as he consumes the Word of God, what is he equipped to do? Well, because he has taken it in, because he has savored it. He says that it's in his mouth as honey. It's sweet. And because he has consumed it and digested it, and as, just in the way our bodies, when we take in food, what does our bodies do? Well, the body breaks down the food, and the nutrition comes out of the food, and then whatever's left over is eliminated, right? But we get nutrients for our bodies from the food we eat. Well, the same thing happens here. This is why Jesus could say, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And this is why you will see fasting also included. That fasting is doing away with your quote-unquote necessary food in order that you might hear the words of God, that you might hear from the Lord. And so, as Ezekiel is doing this, he's getting the revelation from God of what God wants to communicate to his people. And he cannot do that unless he consumes this scroll. You understand? Okay. So there are people who, for whatever reason, money, favors, popularity, fame, whatever, don't consume the Word of God. And then they try, instead of warning people, they try to make them feel good and comfortable in their sin. And you can't even attempt to present yourself as someone who would preach the Word of God or teach the Word of God if you never give any warnings. You just can't do it. The Bible's full of them. From Genesis, when he said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. That was a warning. When the covenant was given to the people in Old Testament Israel, what did he say? I set before you life and death today. Choose life. And he laid it out for them. Here's the blessings if you'll obey me. It's life. It's an abundant life for you and your children. But if not, if you're going to disobey me, it's going to be really bad. There's going to be a lot of curses that come upon you because you don't take heed to the Word of God. And so when we talk about these things, this is part of what, I was sharing even just in that one little thing about the violation of the Emollients Clause and the people going along with it. That's just one of many ways. And it's not just in the Trump administration. It's happening in a bunch of them. It's happening with congressmen. It's happening in the church. And sadly, it's because the church has made idols out of political figures. That's not what we're called to do. We have one king, and that's Jesus. And we are his emissaries. We're his ambassadors here. We are pilgrims in this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. But we're ambassadors. We're reconciling those who have been estranged, those who are far off, those who are at war with God. We have been given the duty to call them to the terms of peace. Just like what we talked about with the militia. When we approach them, we give them the terms of peace. If they accept them, they will have it. If they won't, there's going to be war. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. We'll be right back.
You ever listen to someone speak and have felt completely captivated, basically unable to look away and hanging on every word? The kind of speaker whose passion, knowledge drives and stirs something deep within you, making your heart race and your mind question everything you thought you knew? Well, if so, you're in for a wild ride. This show isn't for the faint of heart. It's actually for the bold, the thinkers, the patriots, and the truth seekers who care to face these uncomfortable realities. Welcome to Sons of Liberty Radio with Bradley Dean. It's a show that will challenge you, awaken you, and make you see the whole world in a new way. Bradley is a force of nature, uncompromising, fearless. He's ready to rock the boat. It's time to tune in to find out why this program is shaking up the airwaves and sparking conversations everywhere. Don't miss out. Visit bbsradio.com/Sons of Liberty Radio. And discover why Bradley Dean is a true boat rocker.
Martin Luther King Jr. rightly stated, that I must admit, America, that I was initially disappointed in being so categorized as an extremist. But as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being an extremist. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of an extremist we will be. We will be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? He goes on and says, history will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747 and start making a difference in your world today.
PBSRadio.com.
A republic versus a democracy? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. E. Stanley Jones said, grace binds you with far stronger cords than the cords of duty or obligation can bind you. Grace is free, but once you once take it, you are bound forever to the giver and bound to catch the spirit of the giver. Grace makes you gracious. The giver makes you give.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Halftime here. If you're joining us, Bradley is in California. They're doing some recordings there, so you'll have some new music out here soon enough. I don't know the time frame on that, but they will complete that and head back home, I believe, tomorrow. And then, Lord willing, he's going to be back with you guys on Wednesday. I was just looking at some of the comments here still on the previous thing. And yes, I did mess up on the guy's name. Sorry about that. That's my fault. Pete Hedseth. Sorry about that. And I did try to make the correction. But in any case, you know, I just had somebody else come on. Apparently, they're not even listening to what's being presented. They're just commenting on a title. And what's the big deal? What's the problem? Well, if you listen to the show, we point you to the Constitution as to what the problem is. It's a violation of law. This isn't hard to understand. Now, I'm going to tell you something. These same people, if Barack Obama had done it and they wanted, you know, it was put up to them by the talking heads, those people would be losing their minds. You know I'm right, right? You know I'm right. If Joe Biden would have done it, you know I'm right. They would have lost their mind. This is clearly against the Constitution. See, it says right there. But when it's their guy and he's got the political jersey on and they're got their rose-colored glasses on to look at him, oh, all of a sudden, it's not. We can whitewash that. I can't tell you how many people I've heard that. They say, well, if Joe Biden can do it, if Barack Obama can do it, as though that justifies it. But doesn't. So with Ezekiel, one of the things that we see here is that Ezekiel is one who is charged to go to his people. And he is to warn them, and he's to warn them with what? The words that God gave him and that scroll he was to consume, right? Matthew Henry says this, Ezekiel was to receive the truths of God as the food for his soul and to feed upon them by faith, and he would be strengthened. Gracious souls can receive those truths of God with delight, which speak terror to the wicked. He must speak all that and not only which God spake to him. How can we better speak God's mind than with his words? Amen. We can't. If disappointed as to his people, he must not be offended. The Ninevites were wrought upon by Jonah's preaching when Israel was unhumbled and unreformed. We must leave this unto the divine sovereignty and say, Lord, thy judgments are a great deep. They will not regard the word of the prophet, for they will not regard the rod of God. Christ promises to strengthen him. He must continue earnest in preaching, whatever the success might be. And, you know, I would utter that. A lot of people look around and they look at different preachers or different speakers, and they determine their success by whatever it is they see, rather than whether or not the guy's faithful to warn the people. And so you can, I mean, my goodness, we have tons of examples of this, especially in the modern church. We've got lots of guys who seem to have made it really well. They've got big cathedrals and they've got money coming, you know, out their ears, and they've got a whole bunch of people and they got worldwide ministries, and you listen to them and there's never a warning, a biblical warning of God's judgment on sin. You never hear it. It's all about, you know, well, your best life now, or, you know, whatever the title is. I don't even follow the stuff. That's probably the last one I even remember. I just don't follow the stuff. But it's all about whatever's good for you. It's a benefit to you. Has nothing to do with the blessing of God. Has nothing to do with obedience to what he said and true faith in Christ. It has nothing to do with that. And so Matthew Henry's spot on. Where does he get his strength? Where does he get his words? Where does he get his mind? Where does he get his warnings? He gets them from the Word of God. And what's interesting is when you go over into the book of Revelation in chapter 10, you'll read something sort of similar that takes place. You'll see this eating of the scroll that takes place. Let me take you over there real quick. Revelation chapter 10, here's what we read. It's a short chapter, so listen. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now remember, the book of Revelation is unsealed. He tells him, don't seal it up, for the time is at hand. He told Daniel, when he got his revelation, he told Daniel to seal it up because it was for the time of the end. And he tells John now, leave it unsealed because it's the time of the end. But as far as whatever happened with these seven thunders, he said, just don't write them. It's not that they're sealed up. He says, just don't record it. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and listen to what he said, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein, that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be no time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. This sounds just like what Ezekiel was doing, doesn't it? And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, I'm just going to throw this out here just as a caveat. You can think on it all you want. But this angel is speaking to John. Now, remember, we're told historically we've been told that it's near the end of the first century that he's writing this. And that he's at Patmos. They've tried to kill him with a pot of boiling and oil. That he's somewhere near the end of his life. And yet, this angel tells him, nope, you've got to prophesy again before many peoples and nations, tongues and kings. That's what you're going to do. So he tells him here, though, he says to take this book, consume it, eat it. It's going to be sweet in your mouth like honey, just like Ezekiel, except in your belly. Remember, he was to take it down into his bowels. That was the idea, was to fill up with it. And so he says it's going to make you bitter. Why? Because there's judgment. Because there's judgment. And so he does this. Now, this is not just an Old Testament concept. This is in the New Testament as well. We are told that we are to warn people. What does Paul say? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, here's what we read. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And how are they persuading? It's terror. They're warning. They're fearfully warning those. You're continuing on in the practice of sin. You need to repent. You need to turn. You need to stop doing that. Don't you know God is going to judge? We're going to give an account for everything done in the body, good or evil. And so he says, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Why? For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Paul was telling them, look, we really care for you. There may be other guys that are saying they're apostles. They're saying they have the word of the Lord, but we really love you guys. And so we're warning you because we know the Lord. We know what he said. We know what he's done. We know what he will do. He's revealed that to us. And so he warns there the Corinthians. But he goes on. And when you get over into, in the book of Acts, you find that he gives even more warnings. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is speaking with the elders there of Ephesus, and this is what happens. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Remember, they were trying to kill him pretty much everywhere he went. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God. He was warning them, and he was calling them to repentance and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. The message was more important than he was. So that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. We're going to finish this up here on the other side. Final segment coming up, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. We'll be right back.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the sonsoflibertyradio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life: books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the sonsoflibertyradio.com and check out our store today.
BBSradio.com.
The annual Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Learn more and get your tickets today at wisconsinchristiannews.com.
Welcome back to the final segment here, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Let's finish up here with Acts chapter 20 and what Paul is telling these elders at Ephesus. He says, verse 25, as we left off at verse 24, "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." That must have been a very sad thing. You know, it talks about them falling on his neck and encouraging, they're praying, they're weeping with them. They're not going to see each other again, ever, in this life. And so he leaves them with final words. "Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am purer from the blood of all men." In other words, I've shared the whole counsel of God with you. I've shared it with others. If you don't take heed to the words I've given you, that's on you, because your blood's off my hand. I spoke the truth. I spoke all of it. And he goes on to say that, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore." That's what warnings are there for us to take heed to, right? How many of us remember, you know, maybe you were like I was, and I grew up in a neighborhood, and I used to ride my bike around that neighborhood, around the block or two, or however many blocks it was. And sometimes I'd get a little adventurous, and I'd drive all the way out to the highway.
And it felt like you were free when you got out there, right? When you were a kid. But what was my parents tell me? You need to be careful. Cars are coming down there. They won't see you. You turn a curve. You lose control. You'll be in this ditch. And one time I did. I turned. I was going really fast, and I turned around a road, and I didn't keep it in the right lane. And I almost literally hit a car on my bicycle. I had to dodge, hit the curb, and it threw me over into the grass. You know why that was? Because I didn't heed the warnings of my mom and dad. It could have been deadly. It could have broke my bones or whatever. God had mercy on me. I landed in the grass. But that's what happens when we don't take heed to the warnings, right? And here's Paul. He says, I've warned you guys. I've told you. And I've told others. I've given them the full counsel of God. But he says this. He says, take heed to yourselves, therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, I mean, this is a sad thing, isn't it? Also of your own selves, these elders that he loved, that loved him. He said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Not leading them after Christ, but leading them after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to what? Warn everyone night and day with tears. But there comes a time after the warning, you just have to let, you have to put those people in the hands of God. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And he goes on, he says, you know, I didn't covet anything, all this kind of stuff. But he's there with them. They are all praying together. They're blessing him. It says they kissed him. This is obviously not any kind of romantic kiss. This was how they would greet and say goodbye. They fell on his neck. They prayed for him. They wept sorely over Paul that he was departing, again, because they would not see his face again. Paul was doing the same thing Ezekiel was doing. He was warning the people. And that is the job of the guy who's on the wall. Many of you guys have seen the towers that are there, fellowship that we're a part of over here in just around the corner from me is called Bethany ARP. And the building is built kind of old style. You can tell it looks like a Christian church building, but it's got that tower. You know, it's got the little, like the, I'm trying to think of what it's called. It's kind of like the little rook in the chess piece, you know, in the game, chess game. It's got kind of that little deal going across the top so that you can have places that defend you and you can look over and you can warn or you can fight from that particular area as well. And so they would have watchmen on the wall. They would have a shofar that they would blow if they saw any kind of danger approaching. And Ezekiel's told about this in Ezekiel chapter 33. Listen to what he says. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. And if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee, Ezekiel, a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So he tells Ezekiel, you have my words. Remember what God has said? I see a lot of people having dreams. And they want to equate it and saying, well, you know, God's showing me all this stuff. And some of it's just downright silly. I mean, some of it's really silly. Don't get me wrong. There are real dreams from God. I mean, the Bible tells us there are dreams from God. Bradley's talked about, you know, a dream that he's had. And you've seen the fruit of what that is. But I'll see people do all that. If you remember, the scripture says, if a guy's got a dream, let him tell his dream. Whatever. But the one who has my word, let him speak it faithfully. Why? So that he delivers souls. Right? And if you don't do that, if you're just talking about whatever imaginations are out of your head or out of your heart, and then you try to make them to be God's words, you're not warning anybody. You're building yourself up. And what does he say? He's going to require their blood at your hand. All through the New Testament, this isn't just an Old Testament concept. This is a New Testament concept. I mean, it's carried over from there. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he's calling out what they're doing. And he talks about what he's been doing for them. And what does he say in verse 14 of chapter 4? He says, I write not these things to shame you. I know sometimes some people think that when we give a message, we're trying to shame people. Well, I mean, I guess if it came to that, maybe you can do it. But he says, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. He saw these people as his spiritual children, just like he saw Timothy. In fact, it's kind of interesting, he warns Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. How's Timothy going to do that if he's not eating that scroll? Just like all the prophets, right? So Timothy's got to be faithful in his diet of the word of God. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. They want other watchmen who aren't watching, talking to them, and they have itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's sort of passing the baton on to Timothy here. Timothy, remember the things I taught you. Remember the things that your mother and your grandmother put into you. Remember the word of God that's been given to you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:14, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Peter warned against this. Jude warned against the false teachers and those who were sneaking in and leading people astray. Should not we do the same for those in our own country? I believe we should. Don't you too? See you in the morning at 6 a.m. bright and early. Talk to you then.